Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Luke and Pete Show. It's Thursday. I'm Pete Donaldson, joined by Mr. Luke Moore. How are you doing, Lukey?
All right.
Yeah?
All right. Yeah,
pretty good. You seem a bit standoffish. What's going on?
I'm all right. I'm going to Belgium tomorrow.
But what are you doing in Belgium? What business do you have in Belgium?
My wife and I are going to see Nick Cave in Brussels.
Right.
And then we're going to spend the rest of the week in Bruges.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, which is good. Lovely. And I'm really excited for it. It's probably my favourite, might even be my favourite place in Europe to go to.
You're going to have a Stroopwafel?
Probably will, yeah. Probably several, actually. And the waffles, they do the bigger waffles with the ice cream.
Yes.
And they've got an amazing shop there, which they claim is the best chocolate shop in the world, called The Chocolate Line in Bruges. So I'll probably visit that as well. Might climb to the top of the bell tower. Might have a little bike ride. Go on a little canal boat ride.
Has your partner been to Bruges before?
We've been together. We've been together before, yeah. We had a lovely time.
I don't know the
weather's going to be as good this time, but who knows? By the way, speaking of going to see Nick Cave in Belgium, it's a little one-day open-air festival thing. We didn't talk about me going to Primavera Sound last week, did we?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You went to Primavera Sound
there before?
The weekend. No. My only foreign festival is Nos Alive in Portugal. That's really one of
it's the same thing, I think.
Is it the same company?
Is it in Porto?
No, it's in Lisbon.
Okay, right. So this one was sponsored by Nos as well, which is a mobile phone provider in Portugal, I think. But this is where I think actually I went to this one before when it was called Paradise de Cora in the same spot about 15 years ago. But this time around, I guess Primavera Sound have expanded out from Barcelona to a different place, right?
Right, okay.
But I thought it was good. Do you know what I liked about it? I like that European festivals are a lot more chilled out. B, don't start till later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't got to worry about getting hot and stuff, get sunburn, all that kind of crap, which is a big factor for me. And I like the one thing I didn't like about it is you had to drink Superbock.
I don't mind Superbock.
Sagres is better, isn't it?
And if you're drinking Superbock, it's usually like €2 or something. It's so cheap there.
It was still quite cheap in the festival itself. Portugal is cheap generally though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
but a lot of the how much is your ticket price?
Cheap.
Yeah.
Like €80 or something?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And it's mainly because they just opened completely to sponsors. And so it's almost like an expo for different companies and stuff. So there's so many sort of food trucks and, product trucks.
One of the stages was sponsored by Binance.
Binance? Don't they make weird phones?
Yeah, I thought it was crypto, wasn't it?
Oh, is it? Right, crypto. Okay. Binance. It's so stupid.
It's quite
Bitcoin
weird.
Finance, is that it? Is that kind of
I guess. Crypto? I'm not really sure, but it just seemed really funny.
That is atrocious. Binance.
Yeah. It was so cheap, the festival ticket itself, because some friends of mine I went with, they rented a villa.
Right, yeah.
But there's so many people.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't that expensive, right? So I think it turned out to be €100 each.
It's not bad, is it?
And the ticket was like €80.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy cheap. It's ridiculously cheap. To the point where I didn't, I couldn't make the Thursday night for other reasons. So I flew out Friday morning and I still didn't feel ripped off.
Yeah.
Which is wicked.
They don't do Sunday nights, do they? They just do Friday, Saturday.
Correct. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a better plan, because Sunday nights is just one. I was listening to my partner's doing the Isle of Wight Festival, and I was thinking Sunday's just the bands start a bit earlier, and like nobody really wants to be hungover on a Monday.
Britain's got a really weird relationship with the Sunday.
Yeah.
To me, the relationship with the Sunday in Britain is that people either go, "It's Sunday today, so I'm not doing anything.
It's a recovery day." Yeah, yeah.
Or they normally younger people. will rail against the idea of a Sunday to get as fucked up as possible yes. and just battle through Monday.
Well, they do it like Bank Holiday Mondays in Hartlepool used to be, you know, just at people beating the shit out of each other, pissed. On the Monday, do it on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And enjoy
it. Yeah, I'll do it on the Sunday as well. And doing both.
Exactly, they're doing it every single day.
Britain's relationship with the Sunday is very odd. I just think it's very, very complicated. The idea that, like one of the things, for example, the Wi-Fi I have access to when she moved over here from the US, the one thing that she didn't fully prepare for and that I didn't think would ever be a problem, would never come on my radar, was how short the shop opening hours are.
Right.
So in London, in Oxford Street, it's probably different. Like right in the centre of London, it's probably different. And then people listening are from all over the world, so it's probably different wherever they are. But in the UK, provincially, the shops are closed. I mean, she couldn't believe it, for example, that the coffee shop near our house in West Norwood, which is in London, would close at like 4 p.m. Whereas like in America...
Who's drinking coffee after that, though?
But they sell other shit. Mm. And in the US, you go to, I mean, where my wife's from, you'll drive 10 minutes down the road, and you're not even in a town, right? You're in very, very suburban, like New England. Mm. There'll be a shopping mall there, open air, you know the ones I mean, and there'll be no one in them, and they're open till 10.
Yeah.
You go there any time, they're open pretty much, from like 7 a.m. to like 10 p.m. every fucking day.
Yeah.
Like in the UK on a Sunday, I remember the only time the 24-hour supermarket down south wouldn't open, wouldn't be able to open more than 5 hours down a Sunday.
Mm.
There's just no reason for that now.
Well, I never understand why.
It's some kind of weird religious thing.
Sainsbury's at 4. Like all of the supermarkets in town close at 4.
They do 10 till 4 or 11 till 5.
Yeah.
It's mad, don't you think?
Well, why wouldn't they just go later? I mean, like, just do 12 till 6.
Oh, we're all losing out because of online shopping. Well, you're losing out because of online shopping, partly because you're not fucking open. So, online shopping is always...
But do you remember like when we were young, it would be unfathomable for the kids nowadays. Pubs just closing during the afternoon.
Oh, mate.
Mad.
People
had finished their drinks about 3, it'd close up for a couple of hours, then they'd be back on it at 5.
Yeah.
Saying to all drunks, you've just got to go home, mate, for a bit. Just put an appearance in, then you can come back and enjoy the evening.
So you know that I might have this wrong, but I think that the all-day licensing legislation might have only been changed when Labour came in 1997.
Yeah.
That took ages for all the pubs to adhere to it. I remember, and I would have been probably 18, so this would be 1998, 1999, just before I went to uni. I remember... The pub we used to go to after football on a Saturday, right? She is a landlady there, proper old fashioned kind of landlady, independently run pub. I don't even know. I mean, she might even still be running it. Mm. Anyway, you'd go to after football, you play football, kick off at 10:30, you finish at 12:31, go to the pub for an hour. She would close at 2 till 6, then she'd open again.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable now. Like, it's crazy how different that is now, isn't it? I often do, and this is a bit of a trope, and so forgive me, but it really hit home to me yesterday when I was thinking to myself around that time, people were just about getting mobile phones and there was no real internet that much in people's homes. What are we fucking doing with our time? What were we doing? I think there's not been a more seismic change in life in our lifetime than the internet.
No, definitely not. I mean, because before, what did we get up to? Did we just look at stuff?
I went out in London once. I went out in London at the age of 18, right? We went to see John, right? He was in uni in London.
Right.
And he had been, I think it was in our first year of uni, so it would have been 99, right? 18. I came up, because I wasn't at uni there, because I had a third year, because I failed on my A-levels. So I was still living at home. A few of my mates were in Bristol. They went to London. We all kind of gravitated towards London, right? Yeah. And he had been there for 3 months or something like that. So none of us really knew London at all. And we just went straight into the centre of town. We met at his house, dropped our stuff, went straight into the centre of town. Had a few drinks, decided someone had some fucking rumour there was a party happening.
Yeah.
So we got on the tube for about 4 stops to go somewhere else. A mate of mine got chatting to someone, right? Didn't know we were getting off the tube. Stayed on it. And I didn't see him again for like the next time we were home for uni. Because he was like, well, there's no way in a city this big we're ever going to find him.
Yeah.
Right? And we're not going home. We're not sacking the night off. Right?
It's his own fault.
So he ended up going on some mad one with some people he didn't even know and didn't even turn up back at the house. I went home again without seeing him. But what
happened to his stuff?
My point, I guess he went there later after I'd gone. But my point is this. This was about 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Back then, his night was over.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't contact anyone. People don't even think about that now.
No.
It would be a laugh and it would be 20 minutes detour. That's it.
It's more just kind of like, I used to really resent people who would fuck the night up like that. They would just wouldn't get in somewhere because they were too pissed or whatever.
But you do a lot of that stuff. You used to do a lot of that stuff back in the day. I was never
a liability of getting in place.
No, but you used to nip off, didn't you? You used to nip off.
I like a nip off.
Yeah.
I like to see what's going on. I like just having a nip off.
Yeah. But who
I need to be constrained.
Did you ever pull your socks over your shoes to get into a nightclub? I used to do that in Portsmouth.
I'd always have the correct... I'd always prepare because I was like, the last hurdle is getting into the Wesley nightclub in Hartlepool. You know, that's the last hurdle.
Let me ask you something.
And if you're not prepared to dress properly, you don't deserve to be in there.
Did you want
to
be in there?
Yeah, I wanted to be in there.
Okay, right. Because for me, I never wanted to go in. Oh, right. I never really wanted to go
there.
I only ever wanted to go into the nightclub because I wasn't ready to go home. I wasn't into the nightclub scene.
Right.
I just wanted to carry on boozing.
I think at that point, maybe because I didn't go to watch football that often in big places, just seeing that many people in one place, it just felt like
that exciting?
A real happening.
Yeah, I never really thought that.
Look at all these people here in the same place. It's mad.
I remember there used to be a club, nightclub in Portsmouth called Fifth Avenue, right?
Mm. Used to be Fifth Avenue in Hartlepool too.
That whole building burnt down.
Mm.
I'm not going to say why I think it burnt down. Look it up.
Yeah.
How are you?
Okay.
You might recognise some of the names involved. but anyway... And we used to go there and we used to play football on a Sunday then as well. And Sunday night then was, I think it must have, was it a Sunday? Can it have even been open or something? Anyway, there was a night where it was like over 25s, right?
Okay.
And I was about 17, right, 18. But the football team I played with, a lot of the guys were a lot older. Mm. And they liked going to these nights because I guess they just didn't really like hanging around with young people, with me as an exception, I guess. I was just their friend. And they used to fucking corral me into the nightclub. They used to basically surround me.
Yeah.
And just usher me through. And it would be more hassle for the bouncers to stop me.
Yeah, because there's always, so many people. Yeah.
I always used to get in. And I've seen photos of myself now from back then. It's ridiculous. I look about fucking 12. No way I should be in there. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, no girls want to talk to me. It's like, of course they want to fucking talk to you.
You're 17 as well.
You look terrible. You look really bad. I remember there was one famous photo that all my mates took the piss out of me for. The ones I still see, where I'm in an over 25s nightclub.
Mm.
I think I'm 17.
Right.
I'm wearing a Ben Sherman check shirt.
I like it.
With an Adidas drill top over the top.
Right, okay.
I've mixed the casual and sport, right? Yeah, yeah. I've got really baggy jeans on and a massive pair of Timberland. I just look ridiculous. I know people are going to ask that photo after I try and dig it out. But
yes,
yeah.
Please.
Back in the daylight, it was... I don't know, there was a lot more innocence about it. Do you know what I mean? It was never, you weren't uploading shit, were you? Anyway, that's a bit boring, but there you go. We've got to talk about how, and this is really remiss of me. On Monday, I forgot to ask you how A, Stewie's doing, and B, you celebrated Father's Day with him.
I didn't celebrate Father's Day with him. He had a normal Sunday, went down the pub, did a Wordle.
Why is he doing the Wordle at the pub? It's a solo pursuit.
Well, sometimes he'll do it at like 2 o'clock in the morning, so I'll wake up to see how well he's done at the Wordle.
Was he spoiler it?
No, he doesn't spoil it because he can sort of copy the results without showing what actually.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really brought us together. Weirdly,
like
we text every day because of Wordle, and he gets really angry because I toss a couple of rounds off just to sort of feel my way. If I've already got like a couple of letters, I'm like, well, that could be anything.
Yeah,
and I'll toss another round off by just selecting loads of letters that
aren't
in there.
You're playing with fire.
I'm playing with fire. He gets really upset about it.
What's your percentage success rate, though?
I always get it eventually. Right. Rarely don't get it. But you get six scores, don't you? So you usually get there.
Yeah. What did you get him for Father's Day?
Just got him a card with that picture of him with the big box of crisps.
Oh, yeah, you sent me that, actually, when he came back on Christmas Day with crisps.
My mum sent him out for a couple of bags of crisps, in her words. And he came back with a box of 36 that I think were out of date.
Just the two of them.
Just the two of them.
I actually got my dad a Wordle-themed Father's Day card this year because he loves Wordle as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was, what did I do to get a dad as good as you? I guess I was just, insert Wordle graphic, lucky, all green letters. Which doesn't really even make sense because we're thinking about it because that's a five-letter word and it should be a six-letter word, right? It's a five-letter word.
You're right, you're fine.
Okay, cool. I actually took my dad for lunch in a pub near where my sister lives. We had a nice time, and I get the impression that in that kind of occasion where there's a whole family there, my dad's allowed to order the stuff he wants to order.
Right,
my mum won't stop him.
So he usually orders stuff that he can't have.
So I get my impatience from my mother, right?
Mm.
So I'm quite impatient,
right?
My mum always wants to do things as quickly as possible.
I'm kind of like that. In the situations where someone's hungry or wait, just get it done. Just get it done.
Yeah.
So as soon as you finish eating, just get out of here.
If they go for dinner, my mum will be massively like, let's just get a main course. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If my dad wants to be take his time, be a little more deliberate with stuff. And so, but when the whole family are there, my mum doesn't feel like she can kind of overbear. So he could get himself a starter, get himself a main, get himself a dessert. It's all good stuff, mate. It's all good stuff. But it was nice. It was nice to spend the Sunday with him.
Lovely.
We were with my niece and nephew as well. So that was good. It was fun.
How was his benches?
Yeah, good. Yeah. We've got one of his benches in my garden. He's got one in his garden. He had this idea where which I think is a really nice idea. It's kind of a legacy project. Mm. Right? He's not that old or anything, but he kind of wants to do stuff in his retirement. I think I might have mentioned this to you. And for listeners who can't remember this, just very, very quickly, my dad will get iron bench ends off of like Gumtree or the internet. And you can pick them up. And sometimes you can even pick them up for free because people don't want them. And he takes them into his workshop and he restores them and he paints them and varnishes them. And then he breaks down. It's quite clever, actually. It's quite a clever idea. He breaks down pallets, which again are free, completely free. And he uses them to make the bench slats, right? And he varnishes them up. They all look really nice. And the bench in our garden is really beautiful. And they're all individually painted. It's a bespoke job.
Yeah.
And he said to me a while back, wouldn't it be great to just make them and just start putting them in parks around Gosport where he lives? Mm. And no, I mean, realistically,
but no one would notice, would they?
No one's going to give a shit. No. People are going to be happy, right? And if the council try to take him away, I think there'll be a bit of an uproar about it. So I told him we should definitely do it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's got around to it. But then he also said to me that he reckons he could probably charge. What did he say? He said, oh, that lot up in London would probably pay 300 quid for this, which is like massive, like baffling to him.
300 quid would be cheap, I think, for garden furniture.
Of that quality as well.
Of that quality, yeah.
But to him, like, he'd be doing it anyway. He doesn't care. He'd do it for free. He gave us a bench for free. So
How does he strip the paint off the old things? Is he acid bath? Is he an acid bath man or a sandblaster?
He uses that stuff, that product. I can't remember what it's called now. But he will if the bench ends are rusty, he'll blast them. Yeah. And then he does a really good job at it. He's really deliberate at it. So he can never do it as a business because I think he's more of an artisan. It takes ages.
Right.
He really takes his time. But they do look good. I'll share a photo with Rory and he can put it on social media. There's one in our garden. It really does genuine. Like, our garden's quite long and thin. And so we've got garden furniture up on the deck. But on the main bit of the garden walking up towards the deck, it really like, genuinely does brighten up the garden. It's really cool. It's like a really beautiful piece of like ornate furniture.
That must be very satisfying for him, I think.
Yeah, and it's completely alien to me because I could never do anything like that. How's your decking, by the way?
It's still kind of there. There's too many little things to sort of worry about in that bloody house.
If you can afford it, I would recommend getting a landscaper to do the garden from top to bottom.
We don't really have a garden, we just have planters.
Oh, okay,
it's all
right.
Just yard and planters.
What do you mean, just yard?
It's just a yard.
Yeah, but how big is the space?
It's quite big.
But the landscaper can come in and you can consult with them, have whatever you want, and they'll do it for you.
Yeah.
It's worth
right,
it.
Right. Yeah, but they'd
call
have to
pull. Now.
You'd have to pull
call
up. The, you have to pull up all of the pavement, the flagstones, and then put soil down, wouldn't you?
What do you know about flagstones?
I know you can't just put soil on top of flagstones.
Well, try it. We've got that concrete flagstone stuff all the way up our garden, but we've got planters on the side, and we've got a deck at the back,
right.
And we've got the fences done, the planters done, the lights, the planting. We've got a cherry tree in our garden, which we got. So one of the most exciting thing about having the garden done was the guy who did it. He said, right, we're finished now, but now we've got to do this plant. So what I need you to do is tomorrow morning, you need to meet me at this place. We had to meet him at 5 a.m, right? Because it's like a nursery thing where all the best plants go and they get taken. And he said, just pick all your plants that you want. And we picked a cherry tree at one point, and it was the best decision we've ever made in that garden. It's a fucking amazing cherry tree now.
So you get lots of cherries?
Yeah, we get like 250 cherries every summer.
Bring us in some cherries.
I should do. We've got some in the fridge right now.
There you go.
But the great thing about those, Pete, is I've got quite a small percentage of cherry trees in our climate, I think, because there's lots of different species. Quite a small amount of them actually fruit. And the ones that do fruit, I think it's only 10% of them are edible. They're really sour. We've got beautifully sweet cherries and we get them every summer.
Nice.
I'll bring some in.
Sweet, sweet soil.
This is a great tree. To the point, I can't tell you how passionate I am about this tree, but the thing that keeps nigging at the back of my mind is when we go finally move house and move out of London.
You can't take your cherry tree with you.
No.
You could have a go.
Well, what Mimi's done which is great because she's a brilliant gardener. She's now
taking a cutting.
Yeah, and right. She's grown another one.
Yeah, a small one.
And it'll take years and years. So by the time we move, hopefully we'll still be able to carry it. and the legacy will continue. Anyway.
I got a lemon tree in the back of mine. I planted that.
That doesn't grow any lemons, does it? That yeah. You won't get any lemons out of that.
Got two lemons?
No way.
Got two lemons?
How big?
About that big. Quite big.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Why are you surprised they're
much more successful in Southern Europe.
Yeah, well, you know, it's happened, hasn't it?
Is it because you've got a bit of a sun trap in your garden?
It's a bit of a sun trap, yeah.
I suppose it's a nice climate out there as well.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I'd love to know more about that, actually, but let's have a break. When we come back, we've got to do battery brands.
Batteries?
Still selling them in.
Yeah.
And still we'll see if we can get to some other stuff as well. Let's do that, Pete. Let's take a break now.
All right, then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back with Luke Peachaw. It is Thursday, 23rd of June. So, of course, we're talking about all things batteries. If you've opened up a bit of consumer electronica and you found a weird named battery in there or two, we're not talking about rechargeable kind of lithium ones. That's not kind of our bag. They have to be the usual D cells, C cells,
A cells
on the shore.
A-cells? Is A-cells a thing?
Well, double A, triple A, all that stuff. I think there is a single A size, but you just don't see them very often. Got one from Drew. Hello, Drew. Thank you for that. Hey, Luke and Pete. I set some batteries in a few days ago and decided to have a look around my house to see if I had any other batteries lying around. I ended up finding these interesting batteries. These are Google-branded batteries that came with my new Chromecast TV remote. They're mostly unbranded other than the fine print. I would love to hear your thoughts on these. And if they could be, even be counted as a new player. As always, keep up the good work, gents. Drew. Difficult to search the Google Drive for, in it, because it's got the word Google in it. That's the problem.
I don't think they should be counted.
Well, yeah, just because the whole kind of the naming convention, it just seems like a...
You've not let this type of stuff pass before.
Right.
I think you should be consistent on this.
Okay.
And I also really don't want to top Google into the search.
Drew, I'm afraid you've fallen at the first hurdle just simply because we're quite lazy. Hello, boys. I've recently come across a single Eneloop Pro. Eneloop Pro, quite literally in the wild. It had been planted in the turf at Nebworth, perhaps by a recreational drug user.
The photo is wedged into some grass.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what that's got to do with drugs.
Yeah. I enjoyed explaining to my family at the Liam Gallagher gig why it was so important to grab a photo of this to send into your show. All the best, Joe. An errant Nebworth battery.
What kind of family goes to a Liam Gallagher gig at Nebworth?
It's interesting. I mean, because I've a few people I know went to that gig, and I can't help but think that they were letting themselves into more than biting off more than they could chew, really, because it was... They're not known for being particularly polite, the old Oasis fans, are they?
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
And what a piss being thrown.
I also did I tell you my favourite story about that gig, about Fat White Family?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was classic. You can go back and listen to that if you haven't heard it already. Eneloop Pro, I mean, listen, Joe, what you decide to do with your own family is your own business. I'm sure they're lovely people. I'm sure you had a great time. Bucket hats or not, buckets of piss or not, as Donaldson would say. I'm delighted to tell you, my friend, that you are the first person to ever send in an Eneloop Pro battery.
No,
and
what?
The fact that you found it wedged into a patch of grass at Nebworth makes it all the more sweet for me. So congratulations to you, Joe.
I've seen Eneloop before. Maybe not Eneloop Pro then. Different branding.
Yeah, there we go. Counts. There you go.
Hello to Simon in Norwich. Hello, boys. Before the battery, I found my stupid dog who did a cruciate knee ligament in lockdown. Fucked her other leg last week. That is both cruciates torn in 2 years. Simon, I can't imagine how much that costs to fix. Quite a lot, I imagine.
Yeah.
Anyway, probably not, but it's the first random battery found in my house, technically in an old PowerPoint pointer thing. Nacon Alkaline. Is this a new player? I think it's a new player, Luke.
Is it N-A-C-C-O-N?
N-A-C-C-O-N. Nacon Alkaline.
This is a really interesting one. Mm. Simon, you are a new player, right? I'd like to send congratulations to you. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
You sent this battery in on on June the 1st of this year. On June the 6th, our friend and listener, Andrew Folia, also sent someone one in.
Mm.
They're the only two times we've had it in a 5-day period, but Andrew was 5 days too late. So Simon is a new player. Andrew isn't. Congratulations and commiserations. Just can show you the jeopardy involved in life's rich pageant when it comes to the Luke and Pete show.
We're in the world of the Nacon. We're just living in the Nacon world.
Do you reckon Nacon's a new one they've started to roll out?
Maybe we're at the forefront of this whole thing, to be honest. Yeah.
Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy.
I'll chuck in a quick email before we chip off from James Jennings. Morning, guys. In reference to my email Thursday and steel erecting, I thought I'd share a few pictures of my current job in Mayfair just behind the Japanese embassy. It's very physically demanding, although we do use a crane for the heavier steel. Love the show. Keep the good work. And I have to say, there's some beautiful steel erecting happening.
Do you reckon James is a bigger boy?
I think he might be a bigger boy, yeah. I mean, it depends. He could be like an engineer that has like the clipboard. And he doesn't have to be a big boy. He wears like a white shirt and that's kind of his kind of civvy outfit. But
they just put the old hard hat on, don't they?
Yeah. I just love the fact, I just love the kind of steel erecting. There's the central kind of column for what I presume is stairwells.
No, that's the lift shaft, isn't it?
I don't think it is because it's got floors. It might be a lift and
the lift
and
go
stairs,
to floors, famously,
and stairs and stair combined. There's a big cement construction up with maybe the lift and definitely the stairs, and then around it is this massive steel construction. How are they going to fill the floors? It's going to be like thin aluminium kind of floors, maybe.
Can I ask a kind of controversial question around hard hats?
Right,
you got a hard hat on. It's made of plastic.
It's not going to protect you if a steel girder falls on your head.
You've answered my question. How much good is that actually doing?
Well, I mean, I think it's just if a rock falls off something or somebody drops a spanner, It'll probably protect you against a spanner.
Yeah, good point. Mm. But it's not helping you with the big stuff.
It's not. It's not. No.
You're still good enough about 1 foot tall if you have that fall in your head. James, it's great. I like the idea that James is working in this environment, right in the middle of town, just beyond the Japanese embassy, as he says, and he's listening to Luke and Pete Show, because I am quite surprised that you could listen to music or podcast while doing that job. Maybe you just listen to it in his own spare time, and I've missed the point here. Surely headphones aren't allowed on building sites.
No, definitely not. If I'm not allowed to use them in a Tesco picking factory in 2002, even though it was very cold and I could conceal them under my hat, you're just not allowed to. Because people are reversing forklift trucks, people are running around with pump trucks on.
Much, much easier for you to do that at Tesco. Was it Tesco you said?
Tesco pick, yeah. Yeah,
picking, you could do that now because of the wireless headphones, right? People wouldn't even know.
They wouldn't even have known.
You had to have a cable
got
back
it.
Then.
Absolutely.
I couldn't wear them at the Great South Run.
Right.
Why? Some running races don't let you because if an ambulance needs to get through, they can't get rid of you. Can't get out of the way. You don't get out of the way.
What kind of headphones are going to stop you from hearing an ambulance?
Mate, you know that I've got some great Bose noise cancellers. They are fucking good.
You know what, Bose.
The problem with Bose is that they've moved from the wired model to the wireless model now, and the noise cancel is nowhere near as good. I just don't think they can generate the power or something. So the Bose cabled, I'll show you afterwards, the Bose cabled ones, they've got like a little box on the cable that you have to charge.
Yes, okay.
And it plugs into whatever. I use them in my laptop still now, they're the best headphones ever. And the noise cancelling is fucking fierce. The new model are the...
Bluetooth
ones.
Right.
And they are noise cancelling. And their noise cancelling, I would say, my estimation would be probably 60 to 70% as powerful noise.
Is the noise cancellation inside the earpiece rather than on the... Right, okay, well, that makes sense.
And it's no coincidence that the wired ones, the box is about that big to do it.
Yeah.
And do you know how noise cancelling works?
Yes.
Kind of mad.
It's absolutely insane. But it means you can... they've sort of started working on kind of entire room noise cancelling, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So just taking that technology and making it bigger.
You can't see this, but that is
it's good, isn't it?
Stuff, yeah.
It's good, but I do worry...
It fires out little cells to neutralise the sound.
Yeah, like it's an inverted phase of whatever it's listening to really, really quickly.
That's why out of the blue, really big, high-pitched sounds can't be cancelled, because it just can't react quick enough, right?
It's amazing.
When I first heard that, I thought it was a joke.
But it does make you kind of... Because if you ever rub the microphone on the outside of like big headphones, you're like, oh, fucking that's loud.
Yeah.
I think it does make you feel a bit weird when you got them on. It goes, like you can feel like a closeness, like it's all in your head.
It feels claustrophobic, doesn't it? I can't speak on the phone by using them as noise cancelling,
right?
Because it sounds fucking mad.
Because you can't hear yourself as well. That's the hardest thing.
So I always just use the little iPhone ones for that. Mm. They work fine.
Yeah.
I think people listening to this show would like to know and be, I think, comforted that we take
noise cancelling headphone.
We take it seriously.
We do take it seriously. It means you'd have to turn up the headphones that high and bust your ears.
Exactly right. Yeah,
exactly.
On that note, Pete, we should get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
We didn't even have a chance to talk about the AI thing that happened last week.
The AI thing that happened last
week. Rory, just put AI in the running order. I want to talk about the AI situation.
To it next time.
Yeah, because it's a fascinating discussion, Peter, and it's right up your street, and it's very controversial.
Tell it to Eureka, crying out loud.
Little teaser for you. Some guy at Google who'd been working on an AI machine started to go off piste with old briefings.
I think he's got too close, that AI machine.
Yeah, well, he's been sacked.
He's been sacked. So,
work out what happens next. You do the math. We'll talk about it next time. See you then. Thank you very much for listening. It's hello@lukeandpeter.com to email in. We are @lukeandpeter on social media. We also really love it when you tell your friends about the show, when you review us well on Apple or wherever you get your pods. I know it's tedious. I know it's kind of boring to hear us say this, but it does really help us. So please do that. Tell your friends. Leave us a nice review if you like the show. We really appreciate it. And it's not just a testament to us. It's actually a testament to the team behind the show. We get no credit at all. And it's really helpful for them as well. So please do that. Until next time, we'll see you on Monday. Peter, have a lovely weekend.
Fare thee well.
Good luck with the decking and all the rest of it. And I'll see you on Monday as well. And it's goodbye from me too. And we'll speak to you soon.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.